everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is April 15th. Today, we're going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me blog. We're going to continue in the book of Enos. We talked yesterday about how Enos is a story of conversion and how it teaches each of us how we can go from knowledge or hearing about the gospel or hearing the word of God to testimony and believing it, and then conversion, which is how we live it. And we get to see that transition with Enos in this book, and we get to see how we can apply that into our lives. Yesterday, we saw how Enos had been taught by his father about the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and then how those words, as he was hunting, began to sink deep into his heart. And that's what we want to try to figure out, how to get the words of Christ, the doctrines of Christ, to not just be something that we know about, but something that sinks deep in our hearts and motivates all of our actions. So today we get the opportunity to see his faith in action. We get to see how the hope that he was feeling leads him to do something. In verse 4 it says, "And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul." So there are a couple things about this verse that are really interesting to me. First of all is the fact that all of this happened while Enos was out hunting. He was out doing something. Chances are he had family back at home waiting for him to come and bring them meat and food, something to eat. And yet it's there in that moment when he was probably still and had the opportunity to ponder and think that the Spirit could bring the words of his father to his remembrance and could stir his heart so that those words that he had learned, that testimony of Christ that he had heard about, could begin to sink deep within his heart. I love the definition here. Once those words began to sink deep within his heart, it says his soul hungered. Now, yesterday was Fast Sunday, and so you have a recent memory of what it feels like to really be hungry. But think of that last time that you were really, really hungry. That longing, that desire, that emptiness that true hunger brings. My son has a tendency, even though he's approaching being a teenage boy, he has a tendency to not eat much during the day. It's really difficult to get him to eat breakfast. I hear that he doesn't eat much for lunch at school. And even in the afternoon, sometimes he just is not very hungry. And then all of a sudden, it's like a switch goes off and he is ravenous. It's like he can't think about anything else. He is just so concerned about what he's going to eat and how much of it he gets to eat. He gets to this point every single day where his body is just hungered. And that becomes his motivation, his thought, his driving point. And so I love this idea that it says his soul hungered. He had this spiritual hunger. He probably felt that desire. He probably felt that emptiness. And once his spiritual soul hungered, it's like that switch was flipped. And all of a sudden it became his thoughts. It became his motivation. It became his desire. He was probably physically hungry too. Remember, he's out hunting. But that took a backseat to this spiritual hunger that he felt. Everything else faded away as he had this spiritual hunger that he wanted to feed. Now, what's fascinating is that spiritual hunger allows him to let go of what he was focused on. And it says that he kneeled down before his Maker and cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication. I love that phrase, mighty prayer and supplication. Prayer should be mighty. The Bible Dictionary says that prayer should be a form of work. And really, I don't think I pray right most of the time because I don't think I treat it enough like a form of work. I don't think I treat it enough like mighty prayer. I think prayer can be a form of work when we are pondering before our prayer and when we're trying really hard to align our will with God's will, trying to receive revelation, trying to communicate, and trying with all our energy to focus on our Father in heaven. Prayer can become mighty and it can become a form of work. And I think that that is part of what was going on with Enos here, is that he was so incredibly focused. That hunger that he was experiencing led him to this focus and this work of communicating with God, receiving revelation and communicating. I love that image of mighty prayer and supplication. In 1961, President Kimball, then Elder Kimball, gave a talk at BYU about prayer. And in it, he talks specifically about this story of Enos. And listen to what he says. As I read this quote, think about your own personal prayers and how you pray. When I did that, I was pretty humbled, realizing that I have a lot of work to do when it comes to how I pray. President Kimball said, "Here is no casual prayer. Here no trite, worn phrases. Here no momentary appeal. When the sun had set, relief had still not come. For repentance is not a single act, nor forgiveness an unearned gift. So precious to him was communion with and approval of his Redeemer that his determined soul pressed on without ceasing. Could the Redeemer resist such determined imploring? How many of you have thus persisted? How many of you, with or without serious transgressions, have ever prayed all day and into the night? How much do you pray? How often? How earnestly? If you should have errors in your life, have you wrestled before the Lord? Have you found your deep forest of solitude? As you struggle in the Spirit and cry mightily and covenant sincerely, the voice of the Lord God will come into your mind, as it did to that of Enos. Thy sins are forgiven, and thou shalt be blessed." I think that that's such a powerful quote and powerful questions to ask ourselves. Like I said, when I think about my own prayers, I'm pretty humbled as I read this. I specifically loved when it said, "How many of you have thus persisted?" It reminded me of when I was in the Peruvian MTC. There was one particular Sunday that was a fast and testimony meeting, and there was one sister in my branch at the MTC who had received word that week that her sister had passed away, and it wasn't completely unexpected. Her sister was sick, and she knew that she would probably pass while she was on her mission, but it was a surprise that it came so soon. And so here, our hearts are all sad for her, our hearts are breaking, and she stood up in that fast and testimony meeting, and I remember wondering what she was going to say and what she was going to testify of in her heartbreak. And she bore such a powerful testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. And she kept saying over and over, "I know this and I know that." And it was so powerful. I had no doubt in my mind that she knew, because the Spirit was so strong as she bore that witness. But I remember, as the adversary often does with a lot of us, he tries to pull us down by getting us to compare ourselves to other people. And I remember going back to my room that Sunday just feeling so bad about myself, feeling like the sister had such a powerful testimony and feeling so inadequate and feeling like I didn't know things the way she stood and said that she knew. And so I was determined to get on my knees and to stay on my knees until I could say with the same certainty that I knew the way she said she knew. And it was kind of an Enos moment, right? I was going to just get on my knees and I was going to stay there until I had my answer. And I think I lasted about 30 minutes before I fell asleep. And I woke up probably an hour later and my knees had fallen asleep, and I continued to pray. And then again, with time, I'm not saying that overnight I had this angel experience where all of a sudden I had this perfect clarity, but I had this incredible spiritual experience where the Holy Ghost was able to testify to my heart of truths, and I knew things in ways that I hadn't known before. And I think that our Father in heaven is anxious to bless us when we show that persistence, when we show that effort, when we're willing to show the work involved in prayer. He wants to pour out his Spirit and bless us. As I was reading these verses today and pondering about them, the thought came to my mind that we will get what we hunger for the most. Remember, Enos was out hunting, and he was probably doing so because either he was physically hungry or he had family that was physically hungry. And that was his motivation. That was what his mind was thinking about. But there came a moment when that hunger changed. And he had a hunger, a spiritual hunger, that outweighed any physical hunger that he experienced. And what we hunger for the most is what we pursue. And what we hunger for the most is what we will achieve and obtain. My friends, we need to become spiritually hungry. And we don't have to do that through sin and through repentance, but through humbling ourselves enough to see how desperately we need the Savior. When we become spiritually hungry, we seek out the source to fill that hunger. And my friends, I testify that the source of all good things is Jesus Christ. And as we seek him, he will come to us. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.